I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Once again, we are live, episode 012.
Yeah, we're back. That's another 1,000 episodes before we can make it relevant to Manchester, innit?
For real.
Wait, is that...
No, 100. No, another 100. No, yeah. No, no, 111, I want to say. No, 109. Who cares? Oh, yeah, who cares? This is the TBC podcast brought to you by GRM Daily, presented by myself, Michael Payne.
Myself, Adal, and produced by Renee.
And we've got two very special guests in the house for the price of one.
Yeah.
This would never happen if we booked a member of BBK.
Yeah, Lidge.
But we always give our esteemed guests the opportunity to introduce themselves, so.
Yeah. Yeah! Yeah, I'm Chucky Online.
My name's Poet.
How do you guys like meet, or do you know each other just from way back before anything?
Do you know what, yeah? I met... Now, I don't remember the exact date, but I remember I met Poet when we was doing the Jump Off Debates. So I think I was doing the Jump Off Debates before Poet. And then one day, this 7'5" brother just comes in being all loud and that. And then like, I didn't know how to take to him, you know what I mean? But then, yeah, like from then, I just met him from then. And then I think like gradual friendship just kind of grew from that, really.
But you didn't grow.
I didn't grow. Yeah, I didn't. And he carried on his 8 foot and change.
You've always been quite a controversial character, Poet.
Seriously?
Yeah, because you first came onto my radar when the famous Dappy video.
Oh yeah, Tarzan.
Tarzan.
You still think about that today, like when you wake up? Like,
nah, I gotta pay rent and shit. You just got graft in it, like. But like when people bring it up, I'm like, wow, I did that. That was mental. But it was all right. Like it was, yeah, it happened, didn't it?
How did it happen?
Oh, basically, there was a time in my life I was unemployed, and I thought to myself, well, I really want to make it, in what I'm doing. I really want to be a personality. I want the opportunity for what I do to be showcased to a lot of people. So the level I was at the time. With Dappy comes calling, he's N-dubs, he's got, number ones and all that. You're thinking, bruv, I can't afford to turn this down. So one thing I did that I would never do now is I didn't even take into context what he was asking me to do.
He just said,
Morgan gave me a phone call. I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll just do it, innit? Like, it's for you, Morgan. I don't reckon you're going to make me do anything that...
that detrimental to your career.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I sent it to Pierre, like, God bless his soul, wherever he happens to be now. I see he's not in his office. Bloody hell, man. And he was like, yeah, just do it, innit? So we done the video in my house. And 2 days later, BBC sent me an email saying never come back again. My mum kicked me out of my house. I was homeless. I couldn't be at the BBC.
What, your mum kicked you out because of a video?
Yeah.
What did she say?
Was like a massive fan of the BBC.
Oh, is that?
BBC,
yeah,
sure.
Get out. I love them and all them kids.
Just paying extra on TV license for no reason.
That's all right, the door slammed, didn't
it? Is that Pepsa?
Yeah.
Could tell from the reflection, just a glance in the... Bro, we got some heads in here tonight,
Yeah.
Full house.
Man, come squatted. So yeah, all that happened and I was just like, oh... I mean, right at the time, I think 2 days after, I was very depressed. And luckily for me, Austin was good help. Pierre, massive, twin... I was fortunate enough to have some really, really good people around me, because the people that I thought would have had my back for me making a genuine mistake, I didn't mean to like offend anyone, just turned their back on me. A lot of people at BBC, I remember one time sitting down and one lady that I thought really had my back, gave me the dirtiest look I've ever witnessed in my life. Worst when, like, I used to touch things in a supermarket and mum used to look at me.
Yeah.
I said, Jesus Christ. And then, like, Sarah Jane was really offended. She was a golden child there at the time. Well, wasn't a child, but she was golden. And, yeah, like, I obviously had done a lot bad. But one thing I remember 4 days after is realising that this is bullshit. And eventually no one's going to care. And then 3 months later, I was back at the BBC. And ever since that moment there, I just didn't give a shit even more.
Right.
Yeah.
We became fish and chips paper, innit?
Yeah, it's just nonsense, bro. I thought to myself, this industry is full of so much people. Like, everyone just kisses everyone's ass, innit? Like, oh, that's really bad. Oh, he's the bad guy. Oh, look at him, he's still got plaits and he's a big man. Oh, fuck him. And it's just like, and now everyone's like, oh, Bowie, we love you. We knew you were going to do it. Oh, fuck off. Like, I just chat shit and I just can't bother with it.
Right, is that something you feel a lot, yeah?
People talk a lot of shit.
Fake love. Now
it's not fake love. It's like, love can't be fake. Love is real or it doesn't exist. Yeah, it's just people feeling where, just aligning themselves with whatever they feel is going to be successful or so on and so forth. It's just a game, innit?
So at one point it wasn't good to like align yourself with poet.
That's exactly. No, I would tell people not to. I would tell my friends, don't come around me. Don't have anything to do with me because it's going to put you in a bad space. I'd rather just be by myself, blackballed, black sheep of the family, kicked out. I'd rather just deal with it by myself and not drag anyone down with me to the pits of hell.
Can I just say, that is the one thing that I hate about, and I know that this is probably in every industry, but in our scene in particular, like, that's one thing that I really do hate, that, you know, like, people will align themselves with something that they think is cool, but then also disalign themselves, if that's a word, with whoever they feel is, like, could tarnish them. Do you get what I'm saying? As opposed to having your own feeling and making your own judgment on someone.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just do it on the basis of an industry. So it's like, you know what? Don't fuck with that person because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, yeah.
Before they've even made up their own opinion.
Yeah, we are sophisticated animals, innit?
Yeah. And everyone does dumb shit.
It's literally at the end of the day. Yeah. It's safer to be with the...
Of course.
With the feeling and the zeitgeist than it is to be... on your Jack Jones.
Yeah.
It's much safer, like both socially and physically, I suppose. Yeah. I suppose it is, you're right, I hate it, but you can almost forgive people for doing it.
I don't forgive people because at the end of the day,
it's
like,
to be expected, I mean.
No, it's not, because when that situation happened to me, I said to myself, there's no hiding places. Mm. I don't want to be around anyone. I want everyone to know, whatever you got to say, I'm hearing it. I remember I'd done something for GRM, God bless you lot as well. About 2 months
you say
after
it like
that,
they dead, like they
like we're going.
No, they're not.
God bless Pierre, I thought, right, what happened?
Yeah. Well, he's not here. I'll tell you that, man. And I ain't seen him for a while in this office.
He's got some death book rolling around.
But yeah, like, I remember Sarah. No, I remember, what was that girl? What's that other girl? Max. A girl called Max. How amazing. She comes up to me. Bopping.
I heard you've been fired, by the way.
Is it? Oh, sorry to hear, man. She walked up to me, shrugging her shoulders, like, yeah, and this guy. I said, big man, what part of Brixton are you from? How dare you walk up to me like this, talking about rare, what you're going to do, and like trying to get Vash and Sneakball to fight me. I was thinking to myself, what's wrong with this girl?
Did you actually do for someone who has no idea?
In that situation,
I done nothing to her. It was because of the video.
I was there at that time as well. And
was
I remember saying to you, yeah, because you came to me after.
Then
I was saying to Poe, like, don't focus on that energy. Don't worry.
But it was
about
difficult
that.
Because she'd done it in the, you know, like the Wireless Festival, whatever festival it was. When you used to go to the backstage, you have MTV there, Channel 4, like everyone was in the same area.
Yeah.
She chose to do it right in the middle. And I just thought to myself, like, if you're older than me, you're clearly got more experience in this field, you're doing a lot better than me. Pull me aside and tell me, as an adult, what you did was fucking stupid. And I will probably say to you, yeah, you're right, you know, I'm sorry, and so on and so forth. The way in which Max conducted herself, I just said to myself, bro, this is almost like you're playing up to it. Like, you're trying to, like get people to do stuff to me. And I remember I took coins out of my pocket. I was like, you choose the coin, I'm going to flick it in your face. And if you do that, I'll tell the police. And the one thing I've done that day, and I will never do it again, I don't give a damn, Austin made me apologise. And when I walked up to her apologising, she goes to me, yeah, I don't know how your mum deals with it. She should, like, you should be ashamed. Oh, I looked at this woman's face and I said, let me tell you something. I swear on everything I own, I'm going to be worse. And I was. I remember one time I went to Wretch's party. She stood outside for like half an hour trying to explain. I was like, woman, what are you, don't explain nothing to me. I don't care. I'm going to do as I please until I don't care about the situation no more. So I just, that just let me know that people within this industry, seriously, are genuinely full of shit. They wouldn't survive a day in the hood, fam. They're not real, bruv. They're just like, they just want to do stuff to try and impress people. Bruv, no one will give a shit about you. At the end of the day, you wake up in the house, you got to pay your own bills. You've got to, like, fend for yourself. So I'm a stronger person for going through that situation. Because now I'm sitting next to fucking David Beckham. I'm the golden child again. It's all bollocks, bruv. Like 4 years ago, I was banned from the BBC building. I was there today recording with Chucky, with doing half-cast. I got a letter. I still got it right now. I'm banned for 10 years. I was back in 3 months. Like, bruv, they're all full of shit, man. Real talk, man. I don't care. Do what I want.
Oh, you know.
I love the way he introduced himself as well. It's cast our minds back to when he first introduced himself. Yeah. Poet. You're saving it all.
Yeah, man. That situation proper hurts me because, like I said, people that I thought, I would never say their names, but genuinely had my back. Bruv, the way they were acting, that's why I've got the utmost respect for Pierre, Posty, Twin, and Austin. They were phoning me every day. Like, they were so, so cool. And they didn't have to do that at the end of the day. I was just a little rebel child at BBC. And they were just backing
me. Do you think, looking back at everything that you've done in the video now, do you just see it like, oh, it's not that deep? Or do you still...
Big man, you're talking about the BBC institution that have got individuals doing a whole heap of fuckery.
But once this all settled down...
Video, mate, it's nonsense, bruv. It's absolute nonsense. It's genuinely nonsense.
Was it purely because you were, like, obviously visually representing something that was in Dappy's lyrics about a BBC presenter?
100%.
Was that the only beef that the BBC
You don't mention the BBC, no one's going to have nothing really to say about it. Because Sarah Jane was so, so, so upset, I remember her and her little squad of people that was with her at the time, they all cut their eye at me.
All right, look, let me be honest. I understand from her perspective why she might have felt some type of way. And you have to bear in mind that sometimes, you know, like, women, some women can be very, very emotional. So I get why she would have been quite emotional about that.
Mm. Yeah, I can understand why anyone would be offended by something
I think that, like, the way that maybe everything else was handled after it, I can understand why Poet would feel some type of way about that. Because I think sometimes, you know, all it takes is for you to just sit down with a person and just guide them. If you feel like they're going off the rails a bit and you know them, you just have a conversation with them. Yo, like, you can't, like, you're fucking up now. You're going to start rubbing up people the wrong way. Have a conversation and that person might be able to then do better from whatever it is that they're doing.
Thank you. He was
great. But I think, like, obviously, from, like, how I met Poet and, like, all of the stuff that was going on, like, it was, Donnie was almost victimized to a degree.
I was vilified differently. I was like, mate, oh Lord, I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, it was so, and for me, it was so bad because at the same time, I was unemployed and I was just going for this. So I didn't even have much money to my name. So I was like, wow, if this doesn't work out, I'm actually really, really on these cold streets. I better try and find a jacket. I can't buy one. I ain't got no money. So I just thought to myself, you know what? And then after you go through that and then you do other things and then all of a sudden everyone's stroking you again when you do something good, it made me realize that that is such bullshit. Like, if someone makes a mistake around me, I will sit down, understand what's happened and then take it from there. And if they happen to be the person that I perceive them to be originally, then I'd be like, I can't take my distance from you. But it's not going to take for them to do something successful for me to go, they're actually a good person. Because they could still be a flipping cunt, but only because to the perception, that wonderful word people like to use, people perceive it to be a good person now, all of a sudden we should run with me. I'm telling you, if you thought, bro, just don't talk to me. Like, I'm exactly the same, but if anything, I'm worse now.
So would you not say that you took any responsibility for...
I took full responsibility for the situation. I told, when Morgan was trying to say it was his fault, I said, no, it's my fault.
Right.
I'm not aligning myself with no one. This whole situation is my fault. I want to be a man about it and I want to get myself out of it.
Interesting question. Did you expect uproar when you did it?
No, I didn't know anything.
You didn't think anyone would have anything to say about it?
Bruv, I was cussing boys for wearing bandanas, calling them all types of... I was doing crud.
Mm.
And I didn't think this video was going to do big... everyone's like, oh, you should have known. Big man, how? I can't predict the future. There's no way I would have thought the video would have been that big. I genuinely didn't.
There's a level of naivety in there.
And that's what it is. Because it's all personal to me. I did not think the video was going to be that big. Right. I genuinely, and with me, I'm always in hope in anything I do. I hope my stuff will be successful and I'll do everything in my power to make it big. Yeah. But I'm never going to say, I know this is going to work. Mm. I don't.
So did you expect us to star in it and then it'll come out 7 days or have its hype and by next week it's just the next thing?
And no one will care. That's what I thought. But unfortunately, you know, I was banned from the BBC building.
Well, on to more positive things, man. You've come a long way since. Whether or not you use that as some sort of lesson, you have. It's undeniable. Tell us about, like, kind of chart your rise post, let's call it Dappygate. For those that don't know, like, chart it chronologically, like, who what you did and who you met to get where you are, because you are in our scene, you are pretty much, you've become like a household name as an entertainer in our, within our sort of scene. So kind of chart it for people who don't know exactly how you got to where you are. But yeah, like I said, take it from post Dappygate.
All right. So first of all, thank you. I don't even look at myself like that. But I said, so after that, I remember I was fortunate enough to have people like Lala around me, Snips and Chucky, because I used to do the jump off the baits with them. So I remember like talking to Chucky a lot about it and Snips a lot about it. And they were surprised by my behavior. So I said, all right, cool. What can I do? Because I've got heat on my name. I've got the opportunity to change everyone's perception.
Mm.
So we revisited a show called That's a Rap and I just went hard with it. And I said, I want this to be on every single platform and I want to use the heat I've got right now to change people's perception of me. So we done GRM, we done three like series of it on GRM or two series. And I remember the first one that went up, I got 19K views for a 10 minute show in one day.
Mm.
So for me, that was like, whoa, like what the hell am I doing? This is so, so sick. And from then I just kept working hard. I linked up with Quazon. Great, great guy. Don't understand him all the time, but fucking hell, who understands me? And we made That's a Rap and it was great. We brought it on SBTV. I had the opportunity to speak to Nas, which is someone that was really influential for me growing up. I've done loads of stuff. It's loads of interviews, festival work. And then I said, all right, everyone's doing shows now. So Link Up doing a show. I saw someone else doing a show. I said, fuck it, I don't want to do shows no more. I want to do something else. I want to go into the world of football. So I made a football show, put it on GRM, Kebabs, Lads and Shin Pads. That got picked up by Google, who were doing Google original channels. They said, all right, we're going to do a football show and we want me. And I was on the show with Mitch and Suave. God bless his soul. I don't know where he is.
Where actually is he? That's a genuine question.
You're crying wolf. Soon you're going to go, God rest his soul. We're just going to laugh. And you're going to go, he's actually dead.
Yeah, it might happen.
It's another one.
But we hope not.
Please do that.
That's not horrible, you know, Chucky. But I done that. And then I've done some show called Comments Below with Copper 90. And that's when things really, really took off because I ended up getting paid for doing my work. And I started off on £800 a month. And that was the most amount of money I'd received in a period of time for any work I'd done.
That's always massively pivotal, isn't it? You can say you've gone professional.
Mental. And then about a year later, I remember everyone like, yeah, I've paid money to go to Miami. I've paid money to do this. And I said, you know what? Let me just put myself in the right frame of mind because I was making a good sum of money. I remember I gave $2,500 to my mum. I said, there you go. Go Jamaica. And then after that, I said, you know what? I'm going to go even harder. I'm going to go so much harder because I want to give more money to my mum and do more things like this. So fortunately, I decided to do another football show called Filthy Fellas, mm-hmm. where we were going to be a little bit more honest because I felt like me doing all that Copper 90 Comments Below stuff, it was tarnishing me. It was changing me. It was making me corporate, making me like what they wanted me to be. And I was like, no, I can't change who I am because you employed me for a reason. And now I'm changing into something where I'll be disposable, replaceable. I don't want that. So I made a new show. On a channel that had like 3,000, no, we had just under, no, tell a lie, we had 231 subscribers.
Wow.
And 2 years later, we've got 36K and we haven't done major collabs or nothing. We've just worked extremely hard. There's eight of us and we've done a show called Filthy Fellas. And now when I was with Darren Fletcher, he ran up to me and goes, me and Wayne Rooney watch it all the time. So worked really hard on that. Chucky approached me and Chucky was like, Poe, we should do some work together. And I was like, what do you have in mind? And he said to me, I want to do a podcast and just talk. And at the time I didn't listen. There was no podcast really happening. A year later, we've, you know, completed a year of podcasts doing Halfcast. And we've had the pleasure of, today we're One Extra doing it with Sian Anderson. We've had Retro on it. We've had all these other people on it. So all I said was, I'm going to use any heat I've got and I'm going to show people, one, I'm an educated arsehole. Two, I've actually got a decent heart. I'm not a person out here trying to embarrassed, so although that video may show a different perception.
Yeah, that was a blip, innit?
Yeah.
You ask a lot of people in the scene, like Vooj, you know, Vooj will tell you, I've done a lot of, and it's not like I'm trying to blow my own trumpet, but Vooj getting a job at Copper 90 was because I brought him involved.
Yeah.
I said, you should be involved in this.
We're going to get onto Vooj, actually.
Yeah. Maya, I brought her in at Copper 90. I remember one person tried to hold her back. I said, this would be a fantastic opportunity for her. Off the back of that, she got tons of jobs. And I told everyone at Copper, employ this girl. She got the opportunity. She did. Shy, for example, everyone knows. Bernard to tell you, I kept saying, Shy. You've got to work with Shy. You've got to do work with Shy. Mitch, I remember Mitch was bloody working at, he was working in retail. I said to him, bruv, let's give it 9 months. I'll have you out of retail. He was out of retail in 5 months. So I just said to myself, I'm going to make sure that I bring all my people through because I'm not having people try and victimize me or vilify me, and them lot are even worse than me, bruv. Them lot will get to positions of influence and power and want to be the guy. I don't want to be the guy.
Just want to help.
I want to be part of many individuals that are the guys. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like in an estate, like you had one guy that was a major guy, but there was loads of people that were big in our estate. We had people that were big for fashion. We had people that were big for music. We had people that were big for football. And I wanted to create that, but just in our industry.
Yeah.
So
have you ever thought about maybe even sort of become like managing or having some sort of protege, you know, officially, rather than, obviously you've just listed like four major players that you've influenced or you've helped to affect some sort of change in their life and in their it just basically in their life in general, you know, you've helped them advance in their careers. So have you ever thought about doing that? As a...
No, so I want everyone to be a boss. Like, even Caroline would tell you, like, I remember when Caroline first came, I said, Caroline, what do you want to do? She said, I don't know. I said, cool, we're just going to do a load of things and you're going to find out where you like it the most. And I remember one thing I've proper rated for is, like, I introduced her to Pierre. And Pierre, I keep saying him, he is alive, don't worry.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. He done a bag of, like, I said to Pierre, you've got to employ this girl. You have to. She's hardworking. She's willing to learn. Like, she's a proper sick person and she's gone on to do great things as well.
Yeah.
And I, in anyone I tell, I'm like, you lot, it's not about me being the guy that's like, yeah, you've got to be a boss. Yeah. We've got to be up here together. We all got to order 10 bottles of fucking rosé at the same time and 10 bottles of champers. And we have to be the guys, bruv. I don't want to be the person that brings people through and is the father. No. I don't even have a father. So how about that? How about we all just be the guys? We all be the top dogs in our field and we all stand next to each other. I don't want no one in front, not the fucking Avengers and I'm Captain America. Like, we're all one, bruv, and I want everyone to be a leader. Do you know what I mean?
Bringing it back to Jump Off, like you said, you did the show with Chucky, Lala, and also Snips. Snips, to me, I find him to be one of the most backwards characters logically. Like, the straight up
Chucky.
Just with, especially Chucky. With rap music.
Chucky talk.
Like, he's stuck in the era of like Echo Track Shoots and like Cool G Rap.
Wow. And that's a Cool G Rap.
Beanbox breakdancing on cardboard sheets and that. What's the worst? What's the worst? Like, what's the worst argument you've had?
If Snips was here, he would fuck. He'd boy, go on, Chucky.
What's like the worst argument you've had with him, like on the show?
I can't. What on the Jump Off?
What thing really? Like, you argued about the topic and you got home and you heated up your dinner in the microwave, and when it got to 1 minute, you were just thinking, "Oh fuck this guy."
Do you know what? Do you know? It's funny you say that, yeah, because Snips like. Snip, I always say this, yeah, and I don't want people to like misunderstand what I'm saying. But if Snips was, if he was religious, he'd be an extremist.
Oh, yeah.
he would put a bomb on his back and he would go and do a madness. That's the type of character that he's got. The thing is with Snips, you can't.
Safari search history right
yeah,
now,
like, with a personality like that, yeah, you like they're sometimes unreasonable.
Yeah.
So it's like there's nothing that you can really say that is going to make them even think about what they've just said because they're very stuck in their way. So for me, after a couple of weeks of being around him, I've understood his character.
Mm.
So. We don't get into those type of arguments because I know that after a point we're not gonna come to a conclusion here.
Yeah.
The conclusion is we just have to agree to disagree.
But have you?
Whereas if nah, but Poet, one time on the podcast when I had Snips, them two got into one big argument and it was so tense. I'm just sitting there just scratching my beard. Because I thought I can't remember what it was about, but he's got really upset with you.
Okay.
Told you to shut up everything. But with Poet will challenge him a lot more than I would.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I will ask him a couple of questions. If I feel that he is not going to take into consideration the other side, then I just kind of leave it as
that. You mean the other side is in like the real world 2016?
Well, yeah, well, however yeah. you want.
I understand Snips, innit? But my thing is this, like, what I say is not facts. Yeah. It's not gospel. It's what opinion. I say is my yeah. opinion. Yeah. So if I give you my opinion, like, yeah, I'm not going to enforce it on you.
Yeah.
If you enforce something on me that I don't believe, big man, there's no compromise. I'm told you, there's no compromise. I ain't doing it. I am not. If I don't listen to my dad,
I think I know what the argument was.
What the hell am I going to listen to you?
You
for?
Was arguing about music being subjective.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's music is subjective.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whether you like what Poet likes, what he thinks is good, I might not think is good. What I think is great, he might not think is great. But a character like Snips doesn't look at it like that. Like music is not
the world, yeah.
It's not subjective. So they had an argument about, you know, whether music was subjective or not, and which then turned into a big
the
argument.
The fact you can have an argument about it being subjective shows it is subjective.
Yeah, that, exactly. Because what you're both doing is you're both sharing your opinion
exactly.
on that.
And whether
so
something
with
true
me,
to you.
With me, I would just kind of like, I'll entertain it for a little bit, but then I'll just leave it because yeah. I know this is going to get my blood boiling. Whereas Poet will entertain it, but then that's great for the podcast because then I'll just leave them to it. Or I might even just throw something in there to just make them start wiling out again.
I remember it now because he was saying things that didn't make no sense to me.
Like, he did make some sense in some of the things he was saying, but
yeah,
still.
But it didn't apply. Like, everything to me is specific. I like to specify. I don't like this general shit. Everything's specific. So he's telling me, if you listen to Young Thug and all that, you're uneducated. I'm like, big man, where am I listening to Young Thug? In the fucking library. Am I listening to him saying, yo, mum, let's sit down and listen to an educated black man talk about the way we should act in society? No, I'm listening to Young Thug when I probably sound like him, when I'm half drunk as well. Yeah. So it's all music has ceilings. And I was saying to him, the ceiling for Young Thug, for me, what he needs to do, he does it very well. I'm not going to fucking play Tupac Changes and then Young Thug with T.I. thinking about the money, am I?
But also, like, on the flip side, you can't then just say that the people that listen to Kendrick Lamar are educated.
Of course,
I can tell you a lot of people that say, oh, I love Kendrick Lamar, but they don't know nothing about what To Pimp a Butterfly was about. Not yeah. one thing. So, you know, it goes on both sides, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think educated people are well within their rights to listen to music like Young Thug. It's about the feeling whatever it gives you at that time. Yeah. It's not every day listen to Nas and yeah. enlightened folks, you know what I mean? Sometimes listen to ignorant, as long as you don't subscribe like socially to anything yeah. that they say. Like, we're not all going around wanting to drink sip lean exactly. all the time or mumble like Young Thug, but if it comes on in the club, sometimes you're going to want to turn up to it, you know what I mean?
Also at the same time, like, old songs were just as ignorant or like
absolutely,
just nonsense.
100%. Absolutely. There's you'll
probably have the catalog,
golden age.
Yeah.
I know Snips from, Snips has been like an icon in my field for a while. I give Snips his credit, respect because 100%. he was, you know, Poisonous Poets DJ. When I started bunking university to do the open mic at Deal Real, Snips was always behind the turntables. No other DJ, very rarely was there another DJ. Snips every week there.
Yeah.
You understand? So I basically, Snips came into, you know, I was aware of Snips at the same time I was aware of people like Skinny Man, Low Key.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You understand? Like people that I massively respect in hip hop. Yeah. And the times have changed and stuff. And I think that Snips is very opinionated, but it's just like Chucky said, whenever I feel that there's something that I don't agree with Snips, I don't even tweet a reply. Like,
but
yeah. I don't tweet a reply.
I think that Snips is like amazing for a certain element of where he comes from in terms of hip hop and what he's listened to.
Absolutely.
Like he's got like a wealth of experience and knowledge.
Yeah.
I think that one of the only things with the characteristics of what he has is that I feel like maybe he might not understand youth culture as much anymore, or he might not understand
of it. He understands one aspect of it. Like my little brother will get along with him great. Well, the best way I always describe
or a different scene, for example, something that's a different scene. He may not.
I think where you hit the nail on the head is that Snips may not understand youth culture that much. But the thing is, sometimes I think none of us really do.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Some people express it more.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if we were all on a street, then Snips would be the guy shouting at the kids as they ran past with the Coke can stuck in their back wheel.
The ball goes over in that garden, it's a myth.
So I will, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the ball goes over Snips' garden, he's shanking the ball.
Yeah. So I will look at my little brother, for example, who's 15 years old, and he might say something I just think is mad or might be interested in something that I think is just weird. But instead of me shutting it down, I'll just listen to him. Like, what is that about? Ask questions. I want to understand like what it is that he's into.
This is
as opposed to shutting it down and saying
that's
it's wrong.
It. And by the same token, you might talk to Snips about this like, you know, grumpy old man that I was talking about. You might talk to him about something that he's deeply passionate about and you'll learn something.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? You've actually just got to strike common ground with Snips.
Snips is, his life is an album from his favourite artist. It's very, very predictable with Snips. I know what he's going to say. I know what he's going to do. My life is a soundtrack from the craziest film you've ever seen. So we're two different places. And I still appreciate where he is because he's a specialist in his field.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a specialist in life because I live life where he lives one aspect of it and one Do you know where I'm coming from? He's very, very much skilled in his department. And that's where he fails, because he feels like that's the only thing going on. But I'm saying to him, mate, if you open up that door, dude, flipping, open up that window, dog, and look outside. There's so much other things that are happening, and you're just not, you're like you want to be ignorant. You're not even making yourself aware that there is other things going on in life.
Like, I think he just doesn't want to open the gate. Like, you know, when you're younger and people talk to you and say, oh, weed's like a gateway drug to cocaine or whatever. Mm. I feel like if he opens that door,
whatever life you live, don't try and bring over and make it general.
Do you know
when you're younger?
This is just like,
do you want a gateway drug? Oh, take this cocaine, young man.
Can I
obviously it's not true.
Can I just
by that mindset?
Can I just say, like, outside of Twitter and outside of like the podcast or debate, debates, he's a wicked guy.
Gentleman.
Yeah.
Wicked guy. Trust me. Wicked guy. So it's just that his social media presence just winds me up sometimes.
I think he's developed that character now, so he can't even go back. Do you get me? And I also think that he I don't think he does it to be necessarily controversial. I think that's just him. Yeah. He likes what he likes, and I think he dislikes things so passionately that he expresses it. And then when people say to him, "Nah, it's good," he's like, "How can you think that's good? Like, how can you?" I think he genuinely like
raging by the keyboard.
He really, really doesn't get it. He doesn't like it so much that he doesn't even want to try to understand it.
But he's very educated. I'll tell you that. That guy is absolutely very educated.
And he does live what he talks. You know, he studied things. You know, when it comes to music, sound
studying
engineering.
Studying now, bro.
Studying now.
He's a different type of guy, bro.
I respect people like that, man. But moving on to Vooch.
Yeah, hero.
Because that's one question that was on a couple of people's lips before you came. How did the partnership between Poet and Vooch come about? Because you were sort of moving along in leaps and bounds in your own lanes, and then one day that no one can kind of remember, you both kind of gelled and became this sort of dynamic duo.
Vooch is one of the most incredible people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. And one thing I like is he has an opinion. He has the ability to say no. And he's just his own man. Like, I think I'm very misunderstood. Very misunderstood. I think I'm an arsehole. I'm fully aware of that. I'm trying to change. It's just difficult. But I think I'm a little bit misunderstood. And people, because even Cyan was saying today, every time I saw her, I would move to her. And that's the reason why she didn't like me. But every time I saw Cyan was in a club. So if I see a girl in a club, I'm Jamaican, I'm going to move to you. But if I saw Cyan somewhere else, then maybe I wouldn't have done
That's just in the manual, isn't it?
That's just in my manual. Jamaican, page 12, move to nice girl in club. Done.
Section 10.2.
Do you know what I mean? Vooch, he didn't agree with things like that, but he understood it. And his perception on life and the way he saw things, it was so weird as well. It just brought us together. So we actually met each other in a blooming park in like 2011 when I saw him in the new series of That's a Rap. And then from then on, I started seeing some of the work he was doing. I hit him up and I was like, oh, you're so sick, bruv. Like, have you ever tried to possibly do work within this field? Because you're so much in your world and you're going to be sick there, but it'd be nice for you to know some people over here. Mm. So we got together, we started talking quite a bit and so on and so forth, and we kept in contact. And with me, I don't just try and drag anyone and bring him everywhere. I wait for that right opportunity. So when I play you the through ball, I know you're going to tuck it away. And that was when a Coppa 90 opportunity came. He was a passionate football fan. And we got along extremely well. And I thought to myself, well, Vooch, I remember saying to him, like, Vooch, look, it's an opportunity for us to go down and be on some YouTube channel. I'm not going to try and say it's going to be the greatest thing in the world. I don't know what it's going to be like, but if you ain't doing anything, you might as well come down.
Mm.
All right. We didn't even talk about it on the way there. We just spoke about other things in life. And then we done it and we left. And then the next day they were like, Ross. The next day they were like, yeah, we want you two for the job. So, and then from then on, it's just sort of grown. And the one thing about that, like, me and Vooch don't talk as much as people may think.
Right.
We respect each other's personal space.
Yeah.
He's just a really, really good guy. He understands things. He's very mature. I rate him.
Fair play. You've hit the nail on the head with, you know, as I said before, you know, you've furthered the careers of so many of our sort of bright young stars within the scene. You don't have to mention names, but have you ever got it spectacularly wrong? When you thought this person's going to be a star and then you've kind of put them in a position where they could like flourish and then they've just
folded,
fucked it.
We'll never know because we're not at the end of any of our stories.
True.
So I couldn't tell you. Obviously, there's loads of situations that have gone very, very well.
No, but you know, you can kind of, innit? Like after a couple of years,
yeah.
when you ain't seen them around anymore.
Really, I don't introduce that much people because I think my reputation, no disrespect, it means a lot to me.
Yeah.
I can't afford to mess up. I'm not in a position where I'm not at an A&R or a record label where I can fuck up two things and then get one thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Amazingly right, and everyone forgets the other two things.
But you're not officially that, but that's why I was asking if you ever thought to do it in a professional capacity because you've done it so much, just naturally.
And that's what it needs to continue to be. I don't want to get paid to help people. That's what I should be doing anyway. I should be helping people. I know when I was coming up, there wasn't a lot of help for me. One of the few people who helped me was Jamie.
I probably sound like a capitalist, innit? Like, have you ever thought about making more money at other people's expense? Say yes, please.
Nah, man. Jamie phoned me, hit me up on Twitter, said to me, give me your number, phoned me and said, yo, bro, I like that song, Never Gonna Blow. Why don't you go on Cameo? And I hadn't been at One Extra at the time, anything. I asked him, I was like, why is Jamie even helping me? He's killing it on MySpace right now. And that just said to me, I need to have that mentality. I need to keep that mentality. I remember I had a manager, Colin Batster.
Yeah,
and,
man.
He was looking after me for a long period of time. And I remember the time where he invited us in his office and said, yeah, this can't happen anymore. I was devastated because I'd done everything he asked and I didn't get what I got back in return. He promised a bag of things that never happened. So I said to myself, I am be fucking damned if I do that to somebody. I'm going to make sure that I'm nothing like Colin and I'm everything like Jamie. And that's no disrespect to the guy. That's just my personal experience with him. He could have helped tons of other people, I don't know. But I don't promise things that I can't deliver. I'll just tell you, maybe I can do it. I'm not entirely sure. Anything that's going to get you to a point where you're really excited, I ain't going to promise you that. Because I don't want to disappoint you. But I will do everything in my fucking power to make sure you know that if I know this person and this person can benefit you, then you know this person. So I'm constantly like that. If I go BBC, I'll bring all five people. Five people that are in our work field. If I go GRM, I'll bring people. I bring people everywhere. Like, experience life, meet new people, like, socialize. Go, like, make money, do, like, extend your career. Believe that anything. Because some people, especially when you're from the hood, they don't think you can do it because your environment doesn't have enough success stories.
Yeah.
So if you bring people around things that they consider success, some people literally idolize GRM Daily.
Yeah.
They idolize this shit. So them being here means so much to them. If I can bring him here, then they're going to start saying, do you know what? I can do it just because they've been there before.
Yeah.
Do you understand where I'm coming from? So that's the reason why I have to keep doing as much as I can because I just feel like I remember when I was coming up, no one don't really want to help, bruv. And then the one person that does help, like JME, who still helps to this day, you fucking appreciate it. And I'll do anything for that guy, bruv. So that's all I want to do, man. Keep doing good things.
Yeah, fair play. Now, it comes from a good place, the reason why I asked, because I just thought that you'd be quite amazing at sort of spearheading some sort of foundation, even if you didn't call it like a business, do you know what I mean? Mm. More like a foundation. Because, well, both of you were, you know, like I said, you're...
There is something, to be fair. There is something we're called Natana Viba, and it's a bag of people, and that's Night of Vibes in Swedish, and there's a bag of people that are working collectively together. And all we're doing is saying, these are our contacts. Let's utilize them musically. Let's utilize them art-wise. shooting videos, like off the back of us being together. We've done an event at Relentless the other day. We only had to have 90 people there. Chucky came, 110 people turned out. Off the back of that, we're shooting videos. Me and Peps in here now, we're planning a video for an artist tomorrow. I went to Ireland to play some of the music today. They were really up for it. Went to a YouTube channel.
Oh, Ireland Records. Yeah. Oh, if we meant Ireland. I was like, what's going on in Ireland? What's this scene popping in Ireland that we don't know about?
I hope not. And we went to another YouTube channel today to discuss premiering our project there. They were up for it. So, and it's just like a big collective group of people, and we're all going to benefit from all the people that we know, and that's just going to branch out. And that's the kind of way I want our scene to be. I want it to be like we all help each other, because we're very small, there's not much of us, and we can take over. We just need to have the right mindset.
Absolutely. It does seem like you definitely have it. Should we take a short break and then come back for the second half after consuming some much needed vegetation? Welcome back to the second half of episode 012 of the TBC podcast, brought to you by GRM Daily, hosted by myself, Michael Payne and Vidal. We're joined by very special and esteemed guests, Chucky Online and Poet. We've been shooting the breeze about various different topics that concern both of you personally. But we're going to kind of cast the net out onto some wider issues that have affected us all, some very deep issues. Shout out to all the fallen soldiers, man, like Harambe. If we could have like 5 seconds of silence for all the primates that are slaughtered in captivity.
Who's Harambe?
I thought it was someone died like a human, so I thought, let me just take the silence anyway.
Yeah, I should never have said man like Harambe. Almost man like Harambe. The gorilla that was shot in captivity, yeah, because a parent was irresponsible enough to let their child run into its enclosure.
Oh, that was it killed.
Yeah, it was killed. That. It was shot dead.
Was it? Dead. It didn't look like it was going to hurt the baby, though.
They say he viciously, you know, there is footage of it. Quite. It's a gorilla, though, isn't it? You know, it hasn't sort of read the midwife's manual. Yeah, kind of. What are your thoughts? Do you feel that it was? Do you feel that Harambe was, if I'm pronouncing it right, was unjustly?
Can I just
killed?
Say there was a similar case in Chile as well. The guy that ran into the cage, 20 years old, wrote a suicide note with the lions, and they killed both of the lions.
Mad.
Yeah, you know, it's neither of them were black.
He wanted the lions to assist him on suicide.
Yeah. A black man ain't doing that.
Like, obviously, everybody struggles different than that, but that's a mad thing. Getting eaten by a lion on a suicide team.
Hey, man, you know, his balls got ripped off. Like, he's in critical condition, Doug. Critical.
So, you know, I think that's somebody
like, that. But it's interesting that you said that you mentioned the word black, that you mentioned colour.
On that.
No, because this is the thing. You know, the kid that got into the enclosure of Harambe was a black kid.
No way.
Yeah, kid, yeah.
The shock in the face.
That was genuine shock written on
are
your
you
face
serious?
There. The kid was black.
Oh no, our generation is falling. Okay, you seeing this, man?
This is my
opinion. Let that be me. But I would have known.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is because on Twitter, it come out that someone wrote something along the lines of that Harambe was taken away from his home by the white man to be paraded in front or for the pleasure of the white man and then killed because protect a white child. But then it was a massive reach because the child wasn't white, the child was black.
Do you know what?
Where did this happen, by the way? What country?
Where did the tweet originate?
No, where did the guy get? Where did the
it was in called? America, yeah. It was in the United States. I can't remember exactly what state. Was it Ohio? Right.
I don't like the race issue thing.
It will infiltrate anything, won't it?
Of course. But
being a fourth.
Do you know what? Like when I saw what actually happened, I didn't actually think anything to do with race whatsoever. Yeah.
You wouldn't, would you?
No. I'm just seeing, like, at first, I'm seeing... You ain't seen it, have you, Poet? Mm-hmm. Basically, what I've seen is a kid...
Oh, okay.
Mm. I've seen a kid in and amongst the gorilla. At first, the gorilla seems to be hiding the child. Then in the next part, the gorilla's standing there with the child and, like, lifting the child up and whatever, yeah? So I assess the situation like this. At first, I was like, how did the child manage to get there in the first place? Like,
right. Unnoticed.
Yeah, like how, like what? Where's our mum? Like, where's the child's mum? Like I don't understand that. And then the gorilla died, and I said to myself, you know what? This is my first initial opinion. Yeah, I don't feel sorry for anybody other than the gorilla, because the gorilla lost its life
yep.
due to parent negligence.
Yep.
However, when I think about it a little bit more, yeah, I think to myself, like, there's been times where I've gone out, like, as a child, yeah, I've gone out with my parents or whatever, I've been with my little cousins or whatnot, yeah, and, like, in fairness to my parents, yeah, like, I've run off. Like, I might have just run off. I might have just done something. Anywhere. Like, the theme park, I could have been grabbed by a child molester. Mm, yeah. You know what it is? It's just, as a child, sometimes you just, when you're in new environments, sometimes you just might wonder. Sometimes you might even do it without even realising.
Totally. Do you know what wandering off is? I'll show you what wandering off is. One time I was in Tesco's, I was meant to be on aisle one, I think when I ended up on aisle seven, my mum beat me.
Yeah, of course.
Finding yourself face to face with a gorilla isn't wandering off.
Can I just finish?
Please, but what's the difference between wandering off?
Is it for this kid to get into a gorilla?
Can I just finish?
Yeah. Gorilla.
Let me just finish, yeah? Silverback. Remember, this child.
Silverback.
This child, like, you got
my
to
my mum could have been red, fam. The way my mum would have beat me, you think I could have been.
I'm just being realistic on it. Like, I'm just saying that, like, even though it's mad that the child managed to get in and amongst the fucking gorilla, like, the way that I'm looking at it now is, how does a child mistakenly get into a gorilla pit at a zoo? Exactly. That's the first thing. Because you got to think, yeah, the zoo is supposed to be secure enough so that you can't do that. You shouldn't be able to, me as a human being, as an adult, I shouldn't be able to climb in there, crawl in there, or anything.
Because if a kid can climb in, imagine what the gorilla can do to get out.
That's
gorillas
what I'm
climb, that's just what they do.
If this kid can find its way, that's what I was getting to. If the kid can find its way into that thing, imagine if the gorilla could find a little hole and rip that apart. Mm. Everybody's fucked. Do you get what I'm saying? So, you know what? Like, yeah, I do believe that the child's parent was obviously took their eye on the ball or the eye off the ball or whatever. But sometimes that shit happens, innit? Don't get it twisted. If that happened to me,
it does. Hold on, like, London riots.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Too far off. You get me?
No, don't get it twisted. If I was a child,
like that time I ran away from my parents when we were all at the London riots together.
I'm not saying I did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, how old is child? How old is child?
The child is like a 4.
Can't be older than 4 or 5.
4 or 5 years
proper
old.
You.
All right,
I would get licks. If I found myself in a situation like that, I would get licks. Mm. But the thing is, I understand, Poet, you're going to talk from your perspective. Damn, but I'm just saying that, like, it's not unrealistic to see a child somehow manage to wander off from its parents, wherever it may be.
In a shopping
center. Wait, Poet. In a shopping center, in a fucking, in a theme park, in a zoo, or whatever.
I don't know about other parents. I can't speak for yours. You see, my mother, there was ground rules. We went to certain places. If you go to the bank, sit down. You hear everyone? No, exactly, because I'm quiet. I don't want to hear you. Done, all right, sweet. In the supermarket, she would give us a little blight. First time I went zoo, my mum told me, if you are out of sight, I promise you, you're not leaving your room for a week. And I knew what that was coming with. Now, obviously, this parent here is just allowing their child to do a whole leap of madness, because I know in my, like I said, in the bank, if I got up and went to the call, in the zoo, I was nowhere near away from my, I was always near my mum, because my mum's thing was, this is the zoo. There's animals, there's this. She made me aware of all the
dangers. The
zoo's
supposed to be safe, bro.
Big man, there's animals.
Animals are locked up. It's supposed to be safe.
He's got a very, very
same way.
Hold on 1 second. Do you know what? In fact, when you actually look at it, your child is probably supposed to be more safe in a zoo than in a supermarket.
For real.
You better know that.
But there's too much iguan inside in the zoo. My mum just let me know. Anything like a zoo. Listen, if you want your picnic to go play with gorillas, you do your thing. I know.
You're not supposed to.
What you're saying is, some of the responsibility lies on the architecture of the zoo. If a child that young can get into a gorilla enclosure.
That's mental.
If it was a thing that happened on a regular basis, I would agree with you, big man. But I don't hear about monkeys and children interacting every other week in a zoo. So my thing is this. Look after your picnic, dog.
But the child said he wanted to go in, apparently, innit? That's what was heard.
He's 4, big man.
No, this is what he said. He wanted to go in. Yeah, this is what apparently the news said.
I don't care what the youth says.
But he had a discussion.
But he's 4.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
He's 4. I don't care what the child says.
His babysitter showed in King Kong before.
This generation's a mad thing, fam. I can't do it. At 4 years old, all you think respect, I'm telling my mum, I want to go see a gorilla.
With all due respect, that's speculation. As far as I'm concerned, don't get it twisted. If I was that child, I'd be getting licks. That's
of course.
Sure.
Yeah, certified.
But how does a child go to a zoo and accidentally find itself in a fucking gorilla pit?
Chucky, let me show you something.
That's supposed to be impossible.
You see my little brother when he was 4? He would go to do something and look back. Because he knows if my mum gives him that look, he's walking right back. You see that, you? See that picnic? My little brother, no, I'm not trying to, obviously, I have to relate everything to me. My little brother never, ever, ever would have got
the... Irrespective.
No, I'm not. I'm saying for my opinion. I just understand how a child, like... What? How are you raising this picnic?
If
they're running off
in
the zoo, where are they not running off?
Let me ask you a question. Irrespective of the intent of the child, do you not share Chucky's sentiment that it should have been impossible for him to end up in a gorilla enclosure?
Irrespective, yes, because the parents intent. Should be watching where their picnic is. You're in a
no,
zoo.
No, forget the parents. All right, cool. Let's forget.
Let's forget
parental negligence and let's forget childish, inquisitiveness, if that's even the word. Okay. Right. Let's forget those two things.
Okay.
Those are the two reasons why a zoo should be safe, if for no other reason.
Big man, if you... No, shush. If you go to the zoo with your picnic, who are you going to the zoo for? You or the picnic?
Both of you, really.
Really, let's be real. Who are we going to the zoo for? You
I'm
or the picnic?
I'm sliding
for the child.
Myself,
we're going for the child. We're going for the child.
My plus one.
We're going for the child.
Me, I'm going for both of us.
All right, that sounds fantastic. Well, you're as tall as a child. So you and the child are going to the zoo. More for the child, let's be real. So the child has gone for how long before you noticed? Are you trying to tell me the first time they saw the child was when he was in front of that gorilla? So big man, what else do you not notice a child? That child has taken a flipping journey, and the first time you're like, oh, where's little Peter? He's in a fucking cage with a gorilla, and we're talking about anything else apart from them people have to look after them picnic.
In all fairness,
if I was gone for 10 seconds from my mum.
In all fairness, his name was probably Tyrone.
Probably, yeah, because he was black. I found out it broke my heart. But my thing is this, I'm sorry, he was gone for far too long for them to be like, oh my God, it was not... How can your child be gone for that long and the first time you notice, he's like, he's in the cage?
Yeah, no, of course.
He's in the cage.
Of course.
With the gorilla.
It shouldn't be possible.
Chilling.
Is what I'm saying. You've been to London Zoo, innit? You've been to Regent Park Zoo. Did you see any way you could get into the lion enclosure?
No, I saw my mum slapping me in
the
future.
Right, you're a grown man. You could step over a lot of things, you understand? But if you can't get into a gorilla
step back and hold your face.
In London, how much more a big zoo in the United States and a five-year-old?
Can I just say, this is how it always sounds like me and him are arguing, because I'm agreeing with him. There's not one thing that he's saying I do not agree with.
Yeah,
I agree with everything that he's saying, but I haven't got to that point yet. My first thing is, a child should not be able to get into a gorilla. That's my first point. A child should not. Nobody should be able to do that. Poet as an 8-foot human being shouldn't be able to climb over there, stick his head over there. Me as a 1-foot shouldn't be able to crawl underneath there.
Zoo. It's your child. It's your responsibility. They shouldn't be even flipping 5 centimeters away from you. The moment they're gone, you should know where your child. It's your child.
Okay,
fam.
Well then, do you know what?
And your child's
but it's
up
another. It's an anomaly.
You know what I mean? Other people for my child.
If you lose your child in the zoo, you should hope to find them in the gift shop.
Real life.
You should hope to find them in the gift shop. You should not even suspect that they're going to end up in a gorilla enclosure.
How can you lose your child? It's your child. I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, if my child ends up in a flipping cage with a gorilla, it's my fault.
But there's a reason why
none of it makes
sense.
In there, you know, it's just my child.
Yeah.
But again,
exactly how my dad would look at it.
Yeah, it's true.
See you. Look at you. Yeah. No, how do you say that to you? They can come to the zoo and not end up inside there. See you.
See, the thing is, like,
the gorilla would have to just allow me. Listen. You'd be like, your dad looks vexed, you know. I'm just.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not excusing the fact of this lady's behavior, yeah? But I'm just saying that there are loads of different scenarios that could have happened for a mistake to happen, in a sense of, if you, let's just say, for example, there's been times where my mum, for example, has taken me and a bunch of my cousins out. Yeah. So yeah, she's going to keep her eyes on all of us, but in a moment of maybe looking at a flipping animal, we're all in awe. One child possibly could have just walked off.
Did you end up in a cage?
Did I?
That's a rarity. Did you end up
of course
in
not.
A
cage?
That's my point.
But you know what? Hold on one second. Wait. But have I wandered off? Yes. And of course I've
into
got
into a cage?
No, I've wandered off.
This is my point.
Bro, I could have wandered off into a fucking paedophile's house.
But you didn't.
I know I didn't.
But did you wander off into... Because this is the matter. The initial point
is you're talking about the child wandering off like it's impossible.
No.
Of course it's possible, into bro. That's a cake.
Fam, I'll be real. When I go out with my little sister and all of that, they don't go nowhere because they're my responsibility. I'm not going home without my child.
Do you think
that is the that's the? They've left the house with me. I'm making sure that child don't go nowhere. If I feel like at any point I'm not going to be able to look at them, I'm flinging them in a buggy or I'm getting them little leash things and that child ain't going nowhere, dog. My child is not ending up in no bloody cage and I'm looking, well, you know what? Bruh, you should make
no
your gates
child
a little bit higher
end
or something.
Up in like, a cage, but no, this is the original point. No child should end up in a cage.
And do you know what?
They shouldn't.
You see, as a Jamaican man,
they shouldn't end
I'm
up
telling
in a cage,
you.
Bro. That's crazy.
Did you see the Japanese couple?
That did what?
The kid was being naughty. Put him in the
they put him in the cage.
Yeah, no, they kicked him out of the car and left him in the forest. The bear infested forest. Yeah.
No
Who
way.
Done that?
A Japanese couple. What, in Japan?
Yeah. Do you know what? I was going to say something so rage. Let me just eat my Chinese and just keep
going. Talking about the subject, I've had the moment many a time.
I don't know.
No, they found the parents.
You know what, like...
Yeah, the parents called the police and they searched for the kid now.
Like, oh shit, so yeah, kid had been
mad.
Found.
They kicked him out of the car. It's like, it was seven of them. 7 years old for punishment. Left him in a
bear-infested
woods and you can't find him.
He's dead.
That kid's the new Baloo right now, you know? It's a Jungle Book being written as we speak, lad.
Well, listen, all I can say is that
not
the parent...
Baloo, sorry, Mowgli.
The parent obviously has got to look at themselves and make sure that shit never happens again. But, like, as I said before in my first initial point, like, Forget a child. Me personally, I should be able to go to a zoo and be safe. That's the first thing. I should be able to go to a zoo and just be safe. I shouldn't be able to crawl into anything, climb over anything, and no animal is supposed to be able to climb out or
Did
climb
over.
Did you
hear over. What you just said? I should be able to walk into a zoo and be safe.
Of course.
I shouldn't climb into any. If you climb into the thing, you're basically saying, I don't want to be safe. You've put yourself in danger. You said, I should be safe. I shouldn't be able to. Inside this environment here, I should be safe. I am. If I jump over that and I hang on to the thing, am I safe?
Bro,
I'm not safe.
Let me ask you this, poet. If you were building a zoo right now, yeah?
Okay, this is amazing. Go on.
All right, if you were building a zoo right now, would you not make the zoo foolproof?
Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't be saying that.
Answer my question. Would you, if you were building a zoo right now, would you or would you not make the zoo foolproof?
That would be my ignorant perception on building a zoo. Yes,
absolutely, innit? Foolproof.
But have you been to them safari park things where you're in the...
But that's
the
safari.
Hear me out. Have you been
and
to them parks?
Safari's better than zoos.
Safari's different to a zoo.
Completely different. You're going... Safari animals.
It's not your flipping cousins, cuz. It's like elephants and lions, cuz. And gorillas, cuz.
Big man, you shouldn't be able
my
to
thing
get
is
into
this.
A fucking zoo.
This is my thing. This is my point. I'm sorry. And this is how I'm going to be. And you know what? I apologize for not changing. But if my pickney ends up in a flipping cage with a gorilla, it is my fault as a father.
Okay,
I
cool.
have failed my
okay,
child.
Okay, cool. But that's why I asked you to put yourself in the mindset of someone building a zoo instead of a parent.
But the killer is...
You have to assume that all kids that and all parents are stupid, innit? Or irresponsible. 100%. You have to assume...
100%. You have to
an environment
that's
like a zoo. You have to assume. You can't just be like, most of them are actually going to be quite responsible parents. You have to assume that every single person that passes the threshold.
Do you know what? Me personally, I would like to hear the justification for it being like the way it is. Because I don't even know how they climbed in the zoo in the first place. There might have been, I don't know what happened. I'm just assuming that the gate was smaller. I don't know.
Well, it has to be an anomaly because it doesn't happen every day.
I don't know, big man.
Like, if you told me this happened, I would never believe it. Like a black kid being stuck with a gorilla dying in the zoo.
No matter how infrequent these things happen, you always they should never happen, innit?
Because the child should not be so far away. I'm just looking at it
and
me.
And the architecture should be right.
Fair enough.
In a case where a mad accident may happen, because we're all human beings at the end of the day, and accidents do happen. And you know what? You're gonna have a child, and one day,
and if you look after them, and they end up in a fucking cage with a gorilla, and you're telling me, well, the architecture wasn't good, big man, I'm gonna throw you in the same cage, Chucky.
It's like, you know, obviously guns, the ownership of guns is very common in America, for instance. The safety button, you'd expect there to be a safety button on every gun, innit? Because people have guns
isn't
and
it?
They have families. Do you know what I mean? So if there wasn't a safety button on a gun and the kid accidentally shot himself or did harm to someone around
him,
the responsibility would be on the gun manufacturer, not the parents. With the parents, you obviously would have to shoulder the blame to some degree, but a lot of the responsibility would be on the gun manufacturer.
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? Just like in a zoo. If a zoo isn't foolproof, then part of the fault lies with the zoo.
Yeah,
I think.
As a parent, yes, obviously. Like, it's just obvious that you keep your child next to you. That's not even a debate. You don't even argue that. But what I'm saying is that some, like,
like there could be an accident. Something could happen. Something could happen. You can't write nothing off.
Mm.
And the fact that you can't write anything off, you shouldn't be able to get into a fucking gorilla pit. Shouldn't be able to do that. That's mental as far as I'm concerned. So if I was running an establishment and a child managed to find themselves in a gorilla pit, I'm not just going to blame the mother. I'm going to start looking at the people that I had building the thing.
What establishment are you running about?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, what's like, why? Like, somebody might get fired. Somebody might get fired.
Absolutely.
Because that gorilla could have eaten that child, and whoever I employed to put a safety barrier around managed to get, a 4-year-old managed to get in it. That's mental.
And even from a totally capitalist view, they've had to shoot one of their most prized attractions.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, exactly.
If they just killed him by shooting to the head.
I'm firing
fucking
someone.
Stock. Yeah.
I'm firing someone.
Someone's getting fired. They've had to shoot someone, something that brings
well,
in probably
the gorilla
millions
dead.
Of dollars a year. That thing's not there anymore. It's dead, isn't it? Because someone made it so that a kid could get into that thing's enclosure.
And that's where we're looking at it differently.
But did they, shoot the gorilla to death?
Killed the gorilla. Didn't tranquilize it, killed it.
Because a woman couldn't look after her pickney.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone go to jail, I don't know if anyone went to jail.
The parents should.
The woman should go to jail.
I think the parents, I think she's the
parents. She needs to ride a stiff bird for that one, yeah.
Yeah, she should.
It's negligence, they say.
Absolutely.
Is that like manslaughter?
If they could get a good lawyer, they'd fight. They'd be able to
beat that case easy.
Of course. Because there's an argument for it. Because sometimes shit happens as a parent, innit? Like I'm gonna say that I wandered off a few times. Does that make my mum a bad parent? No.
No.
I wasn't a bad parent. Like, even though I knew I was gonna get licks, even though I knew the implications on certain things, I'm a child. Mm. So I might just do it just to test the
How
waters.
How old is Sean?
Five.
Yeah, it must be. It can't have been older than five.
You know, so even you do it at 10 years old, 11 years old, cool. A 5-year-old. Are we honest? Listen, I was in.
No, I understand
why
you're so passionate because the
I was
kid is
7 years
so young that you should be holding that kid's hand.
Nobody's agreeing. Nobody's disagreeing on that.
But I know, but it's because I don't want to hear about the park. I don't want to hear about, because you know what? Let's take away the gorilla cage from it. A child could have run out of the park, got knocked over by a car. I'm going to say, well, the car should have been in the road. Your child, let's pick at the base of the problem. Your pickney shouldn't be that far away from you at the age of 5. If we talk about a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, they get, when you get 10 year, 11 years, you're out of here, a little piece. 5 years old, and the first time you see a pickney after they've gone missing is with a gorilla.
No, but do you know what? I feel like that argument there of a child running out in the road because a car shouldn't be there is not relevant. Because a car should be there. But
I know.
A gorilla
should be in the zoo.
A gorilla shouldn't be there.
No, right. Bro. It should be in a
safari's tick,
you know,
at most.
Like I said, I'll be looking around and be like, you mean I have all the picnics
next
here? I have all the 5-year-olds. It's my one that wants to run in there.
Did that child even know what he was doing?
Yeah, for real.
They didn't know that it was going.
I reckon they
probably test
that child. You know,
you only seen those animals.
Even
TV.
When I was 5, I would know not to run into a gorilla pit.
You might looking after my kids.
Not to say I was like a genius when I was 5, but I think I knew that. This ain't safe. There's something about this that this ain't safe.
But that's maybe it just crawled into the grass thinking, rah. And then, like, as it's got past the grass bit, it's just falling over. Next minute, falling over the cliff and it's gone into the pit. It might have just been going into grass. It could have been. But I don't know. I wasn't at that zoo. All I know is that it's supposed to be impossible for anybody to get.
Absolutely.
From the news reports, yeah, like I say, allegedly, like the child had an argument with his mum, said they wanted to go. Now, this is what I'm saying. I'm not even lying to you. Bro, this is what I see on World Star and that, bro. I'm not even lying.
Five-year-old had an
bro,
argument
this is
with
what
his parent.
This is what I'm hearing, yeah? Hold on, 2016,
that wouldn't surprise me.
This is what I'm... Wait, let me finish. Let me finish. I'm not even agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just telling you what I've read and what I've heard, yeah? And apparently there was like a bunch of children, yeah? They went with about 7 or 8 kids, and this one managed to wander off and landed in there, and they couldn't tranquilize the gorilla because it might have reacted.
Take too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then people are saying, why couldn't you like tase it instead? But yeah, that's the story.
That's
allegedly.
What's
going to
cause an even bigger spasm. If you tase
it,
I reckon they should have tranquilized it from behind, because this is the thing, and I was saying this to my friend on the train, right? This is the thing. A beast like a gorilla, it's not vengeful. It doesn't think, I know what you're doing, you just shot me in the back, so I'm going to kill this kid. It's going to think, someone's trying to shoot me from behind, I'm going to turn around that way and try and defend myself now. And then before it knew it, it would have been knocked out. No, that's my theory. But I understand that with a child's life at stake, it is...
There's an also...
It's not the child, though. That's what we do. Take the child.
Yeah, maybe it would have even.
That's what it said. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
Do you know why that's dangerous as well? I'll tell you why that's dangerous too. Because if the gorilla starts protecting the child, that the gorilla might think, I don't want to hand this child back.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, for real.
You get what I'm saying? So real. I'm protecting it now from you, lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't getting it.
We got another King Kong.
Yeah, that's it. You're not getting this.
I want to find out more because a black kid that's argued with his mum.
Like, a 5-year-old black kid arguing with his mum.
Animals enough. I only stop
that. You must have read down TMZ or something.
No, that's
yeah. The National Enquirer.
Sensationalise everything. Yeah, National Enquirer. Kid's going to be on the front page of it tomorrow.
I've only got round to liking dogs. Like, this is a myth to hear a gorilla.
Mad thing. 5-year-old kid arguing with the parents. That sounds even more weird than the than in the enclosure.
Do you know what, though? In 2016, that wouldn't surprise me that a 5-year-old would be arguing with their parents because, you know what,
probably trapped in a cage on Instagram or something, chilling.
I feel like sometimes parents, the way that our, and like even Black Poet would say, the way that our parents installed certain things in us was so that we couldn't have an argument with my, like, no, my mum would, no, my mum wouldn't have to say to me, stay here because when you get home, if you disappear when you get home, it's going to happen. She'd just look at me. But now kids will just look back.
Yeah.
They'll just look back at your mum like, what? Don't look at me like that.
It's like pigeons, you know, they don't even fly anywhere anymore when they're in your way. They stand there to take up your space.
That's one thing I want to go on to, yeah. I've noticed since Harambe was mercilessly slaughtered because of her parents' negligence, I've noticed animals are getting a bit wayward recently, you know? Like, Reese, for instance, fell in fox shit quite recently. When have you ever even seen fox shit? So foxes are just shitting everywhere now.
Oh my God, today, first of all, I went into the diner. In flipping Carnaby Street. I walked in, my friends knocked me from my hand, what do you want? It's like, look, I see two buggies. I'm like, it's nothing remarkable about two buggies. I see the mouse come out. The mouse came up from underneath the buggy. And this is what I think was mad. He didn't run away. He looked at me like, yo, why am I? Like, I'm getting a table, isn't it?
They don't do that. They don't do that anymore.
Animals are getting brave now.
Yeah, yeah. But they've been doing that for time. Like, foxes have been on
that. I feel it's
that.
A bit more intense now since. I think he might have been, he might have been more important than we give him credit for, you know?
Foxes have been on this grease thing for
That's true. They're fully on crud.
I remember one time I was walking home down the motorway really late and I saw a fox right near me, so I thought, you know, let me just stamp my foot.
What, on the motorway?
I was walking down, the side of the lane. I had a car accident. It was a long story. Anyway, there's a fox in the bush. I thought, you know what? I'm scared, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to stamp my foot and it's going to run off. Because that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to run off. It didn't run. So I stamped my foot.
You're stamping on the floor.
Then I thought, and then it started walking towards me. I said, oh my God, these things now are on this thing. It's on this thing. Yeah. I have to run now.
Which direction did you run in?
I ran like more onto the motorway so that like I was like in the light and just in case anything saw anything.
Yeah, happened. Witnesses.
Yeah, witnesses. Like someone
that's
was
such a role reversal, isn't it? That is the role reversal of the century.
I just wanted to get into the light. That's all I wanted.
Mad.
Just give me the light.
Now foxes are on crud.
They
are
on the crud. I'm on. Listen.
I'm letting you know from now.
I'm letting you know right now. Pickney, if there's any fox, foxes listening to this pigeon, podcast. I'm not on it. A pigeon tried to get cruddy yesterday. I kicked it. Then it couldn't fly. Everyone's like, oh, you're so bad. No, I'm not. It's not bad because I'm sitting down eating my food at the restaurant. I don't want to share the food with the pigeon. I would have invited it if I wanted to come. I kicked it. Now it can't fly. It's not my fault. I'm in my restaurant doing my thing. Foxes, they know not to play with me. I'm not on this playing team. I'll find a rock, stick, anything. That's that. You lot are playing games, fam. That's why your picnic are going to run up with foxes now, pigeons flying. Not my picnic. Stay in your fucking yard. Don't even come out till you can smell. Son.
Anyway, the mum definitely should do a community service at least.
Absolutely.
Big man, I don't want her to do nothing with the community. Look what you did with her picnic. I'm sorry. We just got two different perspectives. I want the children to live. You want them to chill with gorillas.
Bro, I agree with you.
Thank you.
I agree with you. But you don't let me get to my point. Like, you don't let me finish. The first point I'm saying is the child shouldn't be able to... No, irrespective of a child, nobody should be able to get into no gorilla. Apart from staff. Then secondly, anyway, like, the child shouldn't even be able to... Like, why did the child leave its mum's side? But you did all that for me.
I'm vexed with that, mum. I can't lie.
Well, I think we all are. I can say I'm vexed with her as well. On that note, we're going to wrap up episode 012 of TBC podcast, brought to you by GRM Daily.
So if you want to know how to
look, Michael Payne.
Of course, just before I was going to say is also, if you want to know how to look after your kid, like we pretty much spent 40 minutes telling you.
This has been
so this can't happen again. This actually can't happen again.
This is the childcare episode, definitely.
Or you can send your child, like anytime you want to go,
send them to me. My booking email.
I've got the perfect solution. Anytime anybody out there wants to take their child to the zoo, hit up Poet. If he's free, you know your child is not going.
Poet's Corner UK.
Hit up Poet.
I hope not. Not UK.
After he comes back from the Euros, he might have a free couple of weeks within the summer holidays. He'll take your child to the zoo and they're not disappearing anywhere. I promise you that.
I think it's fair to say that TBC this week stands for those bumbaclot children. I think so.
That's true.
Women fling your jackets to Poet.
Yeah. I'm on that.
Join us next week for episode 013. Who knows who we'll bring through? Find out next week.
Safe.
Yeah.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.